WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit, your ethnic superstation, 690 days, 680 nights.
Middle Eastern and American simulcast radio show, linking Dearborn, Chicago, and Windsor, Canada, on the radio throughout the world with our live broadcast at RadioBaladi.com. Radio Baladi is broadcast every Friday morning in the Dearborn region on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Good Morning Michigan with Layla Al-Husseini. Radio Baladi is broadcast at the same time in Chicago on WJJG 1530 AM from 7 to 8 Central Time on Radio Chicagoland, hosted by Ray Hanania. Our call-in numbers in the Dearborn region are 248-557-3300 or in Chicago at 708-493-1530. Go to RadioBaladi.com for contact information and show guests. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues with your hosts, Layla Al-Husseini and Ray Hanania.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Baladi. It's May 18th here in WNZK AM 690 Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. Radio Baladi's website is RadioBaladi.com. We're here every Friday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern Time in Detroit. Our number is 248-557-3300. I want to thank all our advertisers and sponsors, as we always did at the beginning of the show, Ziad Brothers Importing, and their new Zwan luncheon meat product that's out now, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of Stephen Lagana, and the American Muslim Center and Imam Mardini. We also want to thank our partners, including Radio Aramica at RadioAramica.com. The cell number to call from your cell phone if you want to listen live is 712-432-8008, 712-432-8008. And you can go to RadioAramica.com to get more information. We also want to thank our partners, the Beirut Times newspaper, which is now promoting our radio show, a great newspaper out in L.A., Al Muntada newspaper in Detroit and Dearborn, MC Gold TV at mcgoldtv.tv, Sabil Media at sabilmedia.com, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs at wrmea.org, the law offices of Jumana K. Ruse at jumanakruse.com, Life for Relief and Development at lifeusa.org, and a special thanks, of course, to the National American Arab Medical Association and Dr. Bassem Dubaibo. Good Morning Michigan is our partner during the week in the 8 o'clock hour, Monday through Thursday. Good Morning Michigan is hosted by award-winning journalist Layla Al-Husseini, Monday through Thursdays, 8 a.m. on WNZK. AM 690. Every Monday, Layla joins Ali Yunus, the award-winning columnist based in Washington, D.C. Remember, if you want to call in, our number is 248-557-3300. There's a big controversy going on, of course, in there's always controversy in Palestine, in the Middle East, but this one is really intriguing. We have a former aide to Yasser Arafat who's been accused by President Mahmoud Abbas of embezzling money, millions, and using that money to make himself wealthy. Now, I don't know what the truth is, and this will all come out, but it's become a very ugly back and forth between the Palestine National Authority office and the former financial advisor to Yasser Arafat, Mohammed Rashid, who, by the way, is an Iraqi Kurd, which seemed kind of unusual to me that an Iraqi Kurd would have been put in charge of all of the Palestinian funds and hundreds of millions, maybe even billions, that were raised for the Palestinian people and the Palestinian cause. To help us kind of understand this and other issues, because we're going to talk about a lot of other things. There are a lot of other stories out there. For example, how do Palestinians look at the Syrian conflict? You know, I know there must be some conflicted feelings, you know, there, because Syria has always been a supporter of the Palestinian cause, the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad. And also, how do they view about, you know, Israel's threat to bomb Iran over nuclear weapons? When no one asks about Israel's nuclear arsenal, which is one of the largest in the world next to the United States. So to help us understand this, I brought in a friend of mine, a journalist based in Ramallah, Palestine, Mohammed Najib. Mohammed, welcome to the radio show this morning.
Thank you, Ray.
How are you doing, first of all?
I'm doing well, Ray.
And we appreciate it. I know it's afternoon in Ramallah. Are you in Ramallah right now?
Yes, I am in Ramallah.
Wow. We miss you, Mohammed. Every time I go to Ramallah, we visit with you. You're a great guy and one of the best journalists in Palestine. And we're really honored to have you on the radio show live here on WNZQ Radio in Detroit. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the nice compliment.
That's
also,
okay.
We are expecting your visit this summer.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to coming back there again. Listen, what is going on with how serious should we take this story about between the back and forth accusations involving Mohammed Rashid and Mahmoud Abbas? How serious is it?
Well, this issue started when Mohammed Rashid, the former economic advisor of the late president Yasser Arafat, appeared in a weekly series on Al Arabiya Satellite TV based in Dubai and talked about his experience in the BLO and being an advisor, economic advisor for Yasser Arafat. And he hinted directly or indirectly to the money of President Abbas. Then the Palestinian Authority and the General Prosecutor Ahmed Al-Mughanni said that Mohammed Rashid is wanted for the anti-corruption, Palestinian Anti-Corruption Commission since a year on a 12th charge of theft money and illegal investment misuses the Palestinian money. And they justify that they try to arrest him through the Interpol. They applied for the Interpol to arrest him and extradite him to the Palestinian authority. But because the status is not a full state member of the United Nations, so the Interpol hasn't take the Palestinian authority request seriously.
So the issue protecting Mohammed Rashid is that Palestine is not a member nation of the UN, is that it? So the Interpol won't act on the call by the Palestinian Authority to arrest Rashid?
Yes, this is one of the main obstacles, but also, according to the General Prosecutor Ahmed Al-Mughanni, who spoke to Ma'an News Agency this morning, said that claimed that Mohammed Rashid bears five passports and several names, and he moves freely between several countries with using different passports. So that's also another obstacle that make it difficult for him. But he confirmed that he called him in Cairo 1 year ago and told him, you should come to Ramallah to be suited in a Palestinian trial because to face the charge against you. But he refused. He told him, I will not come to Ramallah.
So this has been going on for a long time then between Abbas's office and Mr. Rashid?
It wasn't between Abbas's office and Mr. Rashid. It was with the Palestinian Anti-Corruption Commission that headed by Rafik Nacha and the General Prosecutor. But what's happened now, the timing that Mohammed Rashid has decided, maybe in a protective, defensive move, to appear on Al Arabiya TV and talk about the money of the Palestinian leaders and about his experience, how he was loyal to President Arafat, how he served as an Iraqi loyal to the Palestinians. He said his wife is Palestinian, the uncles of his son are Palestinians, and he compared himself to prominent leaders and strugglers who joined the BLO, like Naif Hawatmi, the head of the DFLB, and Qais Abu Layla, the head of the DFLB. Qais Abu Layla came from Iraq, as Mohammed Rashid came from Kurdistan. Naif Hawatmi is a Jordanian original, but all of them share Palestine, and we are in the Palestinian faction. So he tried to show that he's one of them, but no one here takes him his claims seriously, because they know that he starts being poor and in a normal position, but no one understands how he made this money, this huge money.
Wow. And do you, and is this, are the Palestinians in, you know, the people on the Palestinian street, the average Palestinian, how do they look at this, this new conflict? You know, it seems like a big distraction from their efforts and thwarted efforts so far to achieve independence. How does the population view this controversy? Is there a feeling one way or the other that the government is corrupt, or that Mr. Rashid is, you know, that he's corrupt, or that, you know, that he took money, or that he's just a victim of politics? How do they view all this?
Well, the Palestinian Authority, since late September 2011, when President Abbas made his move and went to the United Nations, facing a punishment mainly by the Arab countries and other Europeans, decreased the donation and the financial support for the Palestinian Authority. And at this time, the Palestinian Authority start to look in the every possible method to recruit money. And one of these methods, they look for the corrupts or those who were handling the investment of the Palestinians. So Rashid came as they hope he has some money, they can return back to the Palestinian Authority to refresh the budget to enable them paying the monthly salaries of 170,000 employees in the West Bank and in Gaza Strip. So it's not like to distract them from the political dream or goal, but it is to help to rescue the Palestinian Authority from being collapsed due to the money and financial crisis that it suffered since it made the political decision to go to the United Nations.
And so it really did start out, in other words, as an effort by the Palestinians to find ways to recover money, basically, because they were in a financial situation. Are they having serious financial problems, or was this like, hey, maybe there's some money there that we can get, you know, from Mohammed Rashid? I mean, Mohammed Rashid is a very wealthy person. He's described as the most wealthy Palestinian in the world. Is that, do you think that's true?
Yes, this is, all the reports confirm that. And the average Palestinian citizen here asking the logical question, right, why one person like Mohammed Rashid tasked to rule all the Palestinian money? What are his qualifications to be tasked to do this job? And why all of these things were secret, invisible? No one knows how we start, what he did. So it was still questionable by the Palestinian citizens.
It seems unusual to me that a person who, you know, I mean, you would think with so many Palestinians out there that they would choose, that Yasser Arafat would have chosen an Iraqi Kurd to hold the money. Was that because they felt maybe he would be neutral? You know, that he could, you know, they put it in the hands of somebody who is not Palestinian?
I'm not sure if that was the reason Mohammed Rashid has joined the BLO and he shows loyalty to the Palestinians, and maybe because of his contacts in various countries, maybe the freedom of movement that he can travel everywhere, he's not known or wanted, so he can manage and handle the Palestinian investments in different countries, but also for a long time, and then he disappeared before Arafat's death. And since that time till now, we didn't hear anything about the serious efforts to recover and reclaim the money. It's if the Palestinian general prosecutor said 1 year ago we started, it's too late, because Arafat passed away in 2004, so like 8 years almost, and we don't understand why they keep waiting till the Palestinian Authority starts suffering of real financial crisis or the formation of the anti-corruption commission to start detecting him.
Do the Palestinian people look at this and say, you know, they shrug and feel this is another black eye, you know, this controversy about where is all the money and who controls it and, you know, all this talk about, there's always been feeling that, you know, Arafat, who was, I mean, I understand it, George Washington, when he was president, before he became president of the United States, when he was fighting the revolution against Britain, they had to hide all the money, you know, until we had our country. So it's not unusual in a revolution, right, that, you know, a leader would do everything they could to hide the money and keep it safe, because in the case of George Washington, the British would have taken all that money. And I'm sure the Israelis and the United States, which does all of Israel's bidding, would have done the same thing to take money that Arafat had. So you had to hide it. And there is no Palestinian state yet, so in a sense we're still in a revolution. So that does that make sense, I mean, to Palestinians? Do they recognize that Arafat had to do what he had to do to protect money? Or is there a deep feeling that, you know, maybe the money wasn't taken care of, that people were, you know, taking care of themselves instead of taking care of the people?
I understand your justification that they want him to hide the money during the revolution, but as you know, the Palestinian Authority created in 1994, and Arafat passed away in 2004. So 10 years since the establishment of the Palestinian Authority, and we have here a finance ministry and a Palestinian Monetary Authority. So I think during those 10 years, they should take back the money and free Mohamed Rashidi from his jobs. They should tell him, thank you, sir, for the investment and the good management of our money. And here we have finance ministry, we have Palestinian Monetary Authority, which is like central bank, and then we don't need any help. So thank you very much and take the money. But it remained after and after. But I heard some report says that before Arafat did, he called Mohamed Rashid and asked him to come to his office when he was seized by the Israeli army at his compound, better known as Al-Muqata in Ramallah.
Right.
Mohamed Rashid escaped his call. He told him, he alleged that he's out of Palestine. Then he took his car and went to Israel. And the unconfirmed report claims that he has an apartment in Haifa. And according to an Israeli newspaper, when the thieves robbed this apartment, they found $300 cash in the bag. So if these were the change that put in the bag and in his apartment in Haifa, the Palestinian then asked the logical and the question, what about his whole money? Is that $300,000 were in, put in the bag and left in the apartment? What about his whole budget?
Right. What about all the money he had? Now, is there a feeling, though, that maybe Mohammed Mohammed Rashid, the financier investor that used to work with Arafat, the advisor, that he hasn't done his duty either, that he's never come clean about what he did he?
Yes, and this requires the right circumstances to trial him in front of a just court and find what he can say. But I think the bad point is the timing, because now the Palestinian Authority is struggling difficultly to convince Arab, Europeans, Americans, the most world countries, to support it in its financial crisis. We have $1,200,000,000 deficit in the budget. And now in the new government, we have a new finance minister, Dr. Nabil Qassis, the former head of Birzeit University, and he's facing a huge difficulties. And now in the Palestinian Authority struggle by Abbas, by Salam Fayyad, by the foreign minister to convince the Arab countries to pay their commitment to Europeans and Americans to increase their share and rescue the Palestinian Authority budget. When Mohammed Rashid appears on the TV and said the Palestinian Authority or President Abbas had made illegal money, this will destroy the confidence in their demands and make it difficult for them to support the Palestinian Authority at this time.
All right. Mohammed Najib is my guest. Mohammed, can you hang on with us for a few more minutes and talk some more about Syria and the peace process and a few other topics? Do you have time?
Sure.
Okay, hang on just one second. On the line with me is a friend of mine and a well-known journalist, an award-winning journalist, Mohammed Najib. He's based in Ramallah. He travels all over the Middle East, and he gives us some firsthand insight into what's happening in Palestine and in the Middle East. He's on with us here at Radio Balady. I'm Ray Hanania. We're here every Friday on Radio Balady at WNZK AM 690. Our phone number is 248-557-3300. You can listen to the show online, of course. You can listen to it on radio. And you can call in and tell us what you think about some of these topics. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Palestinian journalist Mohammed Najib right after these messages.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sully at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Good news. As of November 17th, immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Balady. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Balady. That's 617-283-1018.
برعاية وزارة السياحة اللبنانية ستقام مسابقة ملكة جمال الاغتراب اللبناني في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية للعام 2012. حسنوات اللبنانيات من 9 ولايات أمريكية ستتنافسن على عرش الجمال الاغترابي التزاما بإظهار وجه لبنان الحضاري والجمالي المتميز أمام المجتمع الدولي. سيقام الاحتفال في قاعة غرينفيلد مانور في مدينة ديربون في 24 أيار وبحضور لملكة جمال الكون عام 1971 جورجينا رزق، ريما فقيه ميس يو اس اي 2010، كريستال خوري ملكة جمال المغتربين في العالم للعام 2011. يحيي الحفل نجوم الغناء في الوطن العربي وليد توفيق وأيمن زبيب. سيتم نقل الاحتفال مباشرة على شاشة ام تي في اللبنانية. لدعم الاحتفالية وشراء البطاقات يرجى الاتصال بإلي فرح على 757-717-8973. أسعار البطاقات تتراوح بين 155 دولار 100 دولار و 75 دولار فقط. من ضمنها العشاء. جزء من رايح الحفل سيذهب لدعم مستشفى سان جود لأمراض السرطان في لبنان. كول 757-717-8973 or log in misslebanonimmigrants.com.
SebilleMedia.com is a wellspring of media arts. SebilleMedia.com tells God's story through short films, drama, poetry, music, and the internet. And you have free media downloads. Go to SebilleMedia.com and listen to Nasheed, based on the Psalms of the Prophet David, for free downloads in several Arabic dialects of stories, short films, poetry, and music. Go to SebilleMedia.com.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania on the line with us live on radio from Ramallah in Palestine is a friend of mine and also a great journalist, Mohammed Najib. Mohammed, obviously there are other, we were talking a little earlier for those listeners who may have just tuned in about the finance scandal between the government of Palestine and the former advisor to Yasser Arafat, Mohammed Rashid, but there are other issues too. I mean, first of all, everyday life in Palestine has to be rough. We just heard about, there and other issues that we want to talk about, but it's just real quickly, tell us, what is life like for the Palestinians? We always hear about how rockets are fired at Israel, but it seems like the real violence is coming from the Israelis. They raided a police or a satellite TV station in Jenin. They're constantly arresting and killing Palestinians in the West Bank. Nobody seems to really focus on it at all. They seem to only focus on when the Palestinians fire a rocket from, you know, Gaza over the border at the Israelis. Rockets that are not even technically, high tech at all. And you have to wonder what kind of real threat are they compared to what the Israelis are doing. Give us a real quick view of what's the status of, the Palestinians under the occupation of Israel.
Yes, as President Abbas came to office, as well as Prime Minister Salam Fayyad, whom for peace and tasked the Palestinian Security Services to restore law and order and to confirm their commitment to the peace process with Israel, to have two-state solution as an option to live in peace with Israel. So there is a significant reduction, and this certified by the Israeli security that there is no attempts from the Palestinians to use violence against the Israelis. It replaced by the non-violent resistance, which called peaceful demonstrations or gathering in front of Israeli jails or the wall that built by Israelis on 67 borders and the daily checkpoints or the continuous of the settlers' assaults against Palestinian farms, houses, sacrifice sites, mosques, schools, and others. I think today the most challenging issue is the settlers in the West Bank, whom are increased to reach about 400,000, and they are armed. They attacking Palestinian individuals, attacking their houses, their schools, burning their mosques, forming even a challenge for the Israeli security and army. And when I spoke this week to the Palestinian security commander, I told him, "Do you think Hamas still form an obstacle as a security challenge or threat for the Palestinian security?" He told me no, for us as well as for the Israelis, is the settlers whom are the a challenge and whom behaviors could lead for eruption of another cycle of violence, because the Palestinian Authority that limited to operate inside areas A, inside the Palestinian cities, cannot do anything to protect its people in areas outside the Palestinian cities where the settlers can attack them. And this destroys the image of the Palestinian Authority in the eyes of its people. It can't do anything to help them. So why they have to pay their taxes? Why they have to love this government? Why there's tomorrow's an elections? They have to elect or to vote for these ministers who can do anything for them, or lawmakers who can do anything to support them. So the situation has changed a little bit. There is a new challenge. There is a new opportunities. When it comes to the good news or other side, I live in Ramallah, and as you mentioned before, I'm traveling around the Middle East. I came back from Qatar, from Abu Dhabi, from Dubai, Amman last week. And I'm glad to see Ramallah become an international city that has restaurants, cafes, international from the solidarity movement or from international organizations or foreign diplomats who live in Ramallah 24 hours and move freely. This is a good sign of that we can live in coexistence and they feel secure. And this is what I like and I miss in Ramallah when I travel for 2 weeks abroad. I count down the time to go back and see friends and go out in the night. It is a very pretty city, and in the main streets we have French lights, so you feel that you are in Paris during the night in the Champs-Élysées. And we hope that we have more economic better economic situation and more peace and stability, then we can attract more tourists to come here and more visitors from abroad to meet the Palestinians if we can't go outside to meet them.
Yeah, and Ramallah is a wonderful city. I love Ramallah. It's a beautiful city, and we don't hear enough though about the good side of the successes of the Palestinians. We're always constantly focused on the negative. We don't hear the truth about, you know, Israel's terrorism and the settlers who are a terrorist threat, you know, to the Middle East. All we ever hear about is Hamas. It's very difficult to get a clear media message, you know, from Palestine to, for example, the American people. One of the agencies, though, I agree, and I think you read them all the time also, is the Ma'an News Agency at ma'annews.net. They seem to be doing a great job of helping to inform the public, but many Americans are not getting the story, you know, from the Palestinians. Even till today, they still, you know, they don't hear anything, you know, of real substance from the Palestinians. We're on the line with Mohammed Najib, who is a Palestinian journalist based in Ramallah. Mohammed, tell us about, you know, real quick, if you don't mind, about the discussions involving the new Palestinian government that we have. Tell us, what is taking place with the formulation of a new Palestinian Authority government? What are we seeing happen? Is it just a change, or is it a substantive, you know, move to strengthen the government? What's taking place?
Yes, it is a reshuffle of Fayyad cabinet, but I think there is a significant points explained or appeared in this reshuffle. During the past time, Fayyad has held five ministries, as every minister who resigns, quits his position or transfer for interrogation on corruption charge, he take his portfolio. So he has held five ministries, and due to the stuck in the peace process with Israel, we know for nowhere. There is no reconciliation with Hamas, and there's no hope. So it was Abbas has to deliver to the Palestinians something, and the reshuffle of the Palestinian cabinet, and they bring some new professional and new faces. that will help to keep the hope. And one of the main tasks of this reshuffled government is to prepare for the municipal council elections that hasn't taken place since 2005. So it has to prepare to organize these municipal council elections as soon as it can in the West Bank if Hamas doesn't allow them to make it in Gaza, to organize it in Gaza.
What's the obstacle, Mohammed, preventing, you know, reconciliation between Hamas and the PNA? What's the real obstacle, in your opinion? What is preventing the two sides from coming together?
Well, I see that Hamas enjoys having control over the Gaza Strip. It is the first experience in the history of the Muslims, the Brotherhood, to have their emirate, they have their state, and control a geographical area. And Hamas look at the Arab Spring and find that the Muslims, the Brotherhood, are winning. So they said, why we should give back Gaza to the Palestinian Authority? We want to get the West Bank, to share the West Bank. As I understood from the Palestinian Authority, whom were in the negotiations with Hamas in Doha as well as in Cairo, Hamas eye is on the West Bank. They want to share power in the West Bank, but not ready to give any concessions or to turn back the Gaza Strip to the Palestinian Authority.
So Hamas wants a foothold in the West Bank, but they won't allow the Palestinian National Authority to have a foothold in Gaza.
Yes, they prefer, and they thought that the current regional political winds serves them, and they are looking at the Muslims of Brotherhood who were ruling Egypt, will be in other countries around the Palestinian territories, so that can help them to win if there is elections. And at the current time also, according to their internal accounts, there is disagreement among moderates and extremists, hardliners. They want that to wait and till they get in better situation.
Is it also religious versus secular conflict that keeps the two sides apart?
I understood that due to the outcome of the students' council election in the West Bank University, Yer Zayit and Najah, Jerusalem, where Fatah has won against Hamas' list, that scared Hamas from continue the reconciliation with Fatah that reached in Doha as well as in Cairo recently, because they afraid they could lose in such elections. As Hamas hasn't provided a good performance during the ruling of Gaza since mid-June, when it conducted its military subjugation against Fatah and ruling Gaza since mid-June 2007 right now. So they don't want to go to elections that they are uncertain they will win these elections. And they prefer to wait until they gain popularity in the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority will free their prisoners, activists, they opened their charitable societies. And one of the things that Hamas came to contradiction, it said, I am a resistance movement, but wants to be in power. So here, Fatah successfully dedicated the idea that you couldn't be in government and you could be a resistance movement. You couldn't be a revolution and could be a state authority. So that makes them stuck by the Gaza Strip and enjoy the ruling of the Gaza, and uncertain to come to the West Bank, because that's also could harm their image and their Muslims Brotherhood, who are seeking a victory, ultimate victory in the coming elections in Egypt.
And the final question, Mohammed, again, and our guest for listeners is Mohammed Najib. He's based in Ramallah, giving us a little overview of what's happening from the Palestinian perspective. And this is an important week because last week, a few days ago, marked the anniversary of the Nakba, the catastrophe of the Palestinians being denied their rights to citizenship in the new state of Israel and denied their right to statehood. How do the question I have, and I know we got so many others, I have to bring you back on the radio another time, Mohammed, because there are a lot of questions, but how do the Palestinians view the conflict with Syria? What do they see happening, and is there, whose side do you think the Palestinians tend to, you know, support in that conflict?
Well, as the public, the official Palestinian attitude that we shouldn't intervene in the Arab countries' internal affairs, despite that we have millions of Palestinians who live in Syrian refugees camps and have suffered by the quelling of Assad regime forces. Some of them have been arrested, others have been killed. But I don't see anyone who agrees with how Assad regime quell his people, he'll crack down on his people who are calling for their freedom. Even those few supporters from Al-Ba'ath party, Palestinian branch here, have changed their minds. At the beginning, they thought that it's a conspiracy against the Assad regime. They should show solidarity and support for him. But after a couple of months, they found that they shouldn't keep their attitude, and they changed their minds. And we disagree by this. Especially as Palestinian people, we suffered from the Israeli occupation and quelling. So we find the similarity. We feel, we share the feelings with the Syrian people because we have such experience, but from another one. And I think it's more tough and more difficult to be punished by your own people as the Syrians facing now. We suffered that from another people, from the Israelis, but not from Palestinians. But for Syrians, I think it's more difficult. And here the Palestinians show solidarity and sympathy to their sufferance, and we wish they will this situation will come to an end. When I was in Jordan on a business assignment for 2 weeks, I was wishing to have the time to go to Aramta, a refugees camp that established for 100,000 Syrians who fled Assad regime punishment and torture, and have based in the close to the Jordanian-Syrian borders, and wish I can go there, see how they feel, how they live, and listen to their stories, and share solidarity and sympathy with them.
All right. Listen, Mohammed, thank you so much for joining us on radio. I look forward to coming out there. I wish this summer to say hello to you and everybody there, and even do some more research and writing while I'm there, but I hope we can bring you on the radio show again, you know, to help us understand some of the issues that are taking place in the Middle East. Thank you so much. And for listeners, if you want to connect with Mohammed Najib, you can find him on Facebook. It's Mohammed Najib, N-A-J-I-B, Mohammed.Najib. Just look him up on Facebook and friend him, and keep up with his writings and his observations, which are very good. Mohammed, thank you so much for joining us again, and give my regards to everybody there.
Thank you, and it's my pleasure to be at your show today. Thank
All right, you're welcome. All right, we'll stay in touch. Thank you, Mohammed.
Thank you.
All right, it is 43 minutes after the top of the hour. It is Friday morning here at Radio Ballady on May 18th. And we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Stephen Lagana, the immigration attorney, about a recent immigration case that he was involved with, and give us an update on what's happening. I'm Ray Hanania here at Radio Ballady. Our website is radioballady.com. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Jake's Candy. 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's McKluba, Warak Dawali, Tabbouleh, Hummus, Mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Baladi. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Baladi. That's 617-283-1018.
برعاية وزارة السياحة اللبنانية ستقام مسابقة ملكة جمال الاغتراب اللبناني في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية للعام 2012. حسنوات اللبنانيات من 9 ولايات أمريكية ستتنافسن على عرش الجمال الاغترابي التزاما بإظهار وجه لبنان الحضاري والجمالي المتميز أمام المجتمع الدولي. سيقام الاحتفال في قاعة غرينفيلد مانر في مدينة ديربون في 24 أيار وبحضور لملكة جمال الكون عام 1971 جورجينا رزق، ريما فقيح ميس يو اس اي 2010، كريستال خوري ملكة جمال المغتربين في العالم للعام 2011. يحيي الحفل نجوم الغناء في الوطن العربي وليد توفيق وأيمن زبيب. سيتم نقل الاحتفال مباشرة على شاشة ام تي في اللبنانية. لدعم الاحتفالية وشراء البطاقات يرجى الاتصال بإلي فرح على 757-717-8973. أسعار البطاقات تتراوح بين $155 $100 و$75 فقط. من ضمنها العشاء. جزء من رايح الحفل سيذهب لدعم مستشفى سان جود لأمراض السرطان في لبنان. كول 757-717-8973 or log in misslebanonimmigrants.com.
Icon Computer Megastore. Mention Radio Baladi for great deals. Computers and laptops from $99. Apple computers from $129. Warranties included. Shipping available. Free layaway plans. Arabic to English keyboards, $5. Mouses, $5. Repairs for iPods, iPads, Apple computers, and PCs. Icon Computer Megastore on Greenfield, north of Warren Avenue in Dearborn. Mention Radio Baladi. Call today, 313-582-3100. 313-582-3100. The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
And welcome back to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 radio. I'm here every Friday at 8 o'clock Detroit time, broadcast live around the country on the internet, also with a big audience in Chicago. Also on Radio Aramica, radioaramica.com is the website, but you can listen live with your cell phone by calling 712-432-8008. Anton Faisal, our good friend and a journalist I really admire because he has a great newspaper covering the whole East Coast and a number of cities. We need to get him on sometime and talk to him about the issues facing American Arabs. Aramica newspaper is one of the best newspapers in the country, published weekly in English and in Arabic. It's a phenomenal newspaper, very professional. Of course, we have several newspapers in Detroit and Dearborn that are excellent also, probably the best, El Haqiqa and El Muntada newspapers, two of the best, the Forum and Link, great newspapers, and we always appreciate their support that they give us for our radio show at Radio Ballady. Our number is 248-557-3300 if you want to call in. You can also, by the way, if you go to our website at radioballady.com, this is a good time to promote the website, radioballady.com. You can get information not just on my background and also the background of my partner in Dearborn, Layla El-Husseini, who I got a chance to see last weekend when I was in Dearborn meeting with a lot of my friends there. What a great place. I enjoy and love Detroit and Dearborn and the Dearborn region. Just some wonderful places. That Lapita Inn, Lapita Restaurant, I love the food there. I was there and it was just phenomenal. But if you go to our website at radioballady.com, there's certain things you can do. You can connect to our Facebook radio page and like our Radio Ballady website Facebook page. You just click it, go to the website at radioballady.com. You'd be helping us a lot and staying in touch with all the different things that are taking place. We got a lot of friends and we want you to join us. We want to hear your feedback. And also, if you go to the top of the website where it says listen and watch online, you can listen live online. Now, we've been experimenting with video broadcast, and unfortunately I was having a little technical problem because with our video broadcast we weren't getting the sound from our guests who were calling in. So I have to work that out and figure out a way to make that work. But you can also, if you look down right under that, it says click here to listen to past shows. And every week I put up the past podcasts of our shows, like this show will be available, the one today, on iTunes. It will also be available and be playing 24 hours a day, every day. If you want to connect, if you miss the show on Friday morning, you can always listen to it anytime during the week by clicking on that link on our website at radioballady.com. I also host a radio show every Sunday morning in Chicago on two radio stations, WSBC 1240 AM radio in Chicagoland, which covers all of northern Illinois, and also WCFJ AM 1470 radio, which covers the southlands of Illinois and also northwest Indiana. And we talk about many mainstream issues, and you're welcome to visit that website at RadioChicagoland.com if you want to connect in. And of course, whether you're in Chicago or not, we want to hear your views because we talk about all the big issues around the country, and because I'm very proud to be Arab and Palestinian, and though I'm Christian and very proud to be Christian, I also consider myself Muslim by culture. We talk about Middle East issues also and defending the rights of Palestinians, Arabs, Muslims in this country, in the United States, because over the years things have become very, very tough for Arabs. We're the victims of discrimination and racism, and we need to stand up and defend ourselves, and I won't be silenced. I've been doing it for years, And even though we have some quislings maybe in our own community, extremists who don't believe in the reasoned effort to change things the right way, I'm going to do it the right way and stand up and fight for our rights. And one of the ways I do that is writing for my columns. The one column I write every Wednesday for the Jerusalem Post is directed at Israelis, to reason with them through logic and also humor. And also now every Sunday I write for the Saudi Gazette in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And we'll have the editor-in-chief of the Saudi Gazette, Khalid Al-Maina, who will join us. He'll be on with me this Sunday in Chicago, and I want to bring him to Radio Balladi to talk about the issues between Saudi Arabia and Syria, the Gulf states and Syria, and also what can be done to help the Palestinians, the 64th year of Nakba, the catastrophe from when our rights were denied by the Israelis to statehood and sovereignty and equal rights in what is now Israel. I appreciate all your support. And also, you know, if you're interested in Chicago politics, I've been covering Chicago politics for 36 years, and I write columns for several mainstream newspapers in Chicagoland, the Southwest News Herald, the Lawndale News. I covered Chicago City Hall for 18 years, from Mayor Daley to Mayor Daley, the Sun, and every mayor in between. Jane Byrne, Mike Belanda, Carol Washington was a great African-American mayor of Chicago, someone who I knew very personally, and who died in 1987 on Thanksgiving Eve. What a terrible, tragic day that was. Eugene Sawyer and, of course, Rich Daley, when the son of the great Richard J. Daley came back to power. 248-557-3300 is our number if you have a comment. Otherwise, I urge you, please go to our website at radioballady.com. All this information I'm talking about is there. Our sponsors, Ziad Brothers Importing, they have a new luncheon meat that's very popular in the Middle East and among Muslims. It's halal. It's called Zawan, and it's a beef and chicken luncheon meat that you can pick up. You just go to a local store and ask them if they have it. If they don't have it, ask them to get it. You'll want to see that. And I know that they'll be there with Layla next month at the Arab Festival that is taking place in mid-June on Warren Avenue. And I hope I get a chance to come out there, because that Arab Fest is one of the best in the country. Sadly, the Arab Festival in Illinois was canceled. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, a former Israeli citizen, he had citizenship in Israel. He doesn't take too kindly to the Arab community, but because the Arab community has such a weak voice in this country, we can't even stand up to discrimination that confronts us. We don't have enough money to do the festival this year. It was canceled last year, right after Rahm Emanuel was elected mayor of Chicago. He eliminated the Advisory Commission on Arab Affairs. That was one of his first acts, was to silence Arabs. He really doesn't like the criticism. We've tried to reach out to him to be friendly, you know, to work with him. But Rahm Emanuel, I don't believe, really cares about Arabs. And he doesn't care about our community. Because I know that if this were the Jewish community and they had a festival in Chicago and we were short of money, Rahm Emanuel and the city of Chicago would do everything they could to find a way to support it. But because we're Arab, and because many Arabs are Muslim, and ironically, the majority of Arabs in Chicago are actually Christian Arabs, but nonetheless, Muslims and Christians, we stand together on the issues of righteousness, ethics, morality, and principle. Rahm Emanuel wouldn't support us, and that's a shame on him. But it's also a shame on the Arab community for not doing anything, not speaking out, not being active, being so divided the way they are in Detroit and Dearborn, so divided by leaders that selfishly promote their own agenda and put the Arab community at the bottom of the list of priorities. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed our show today. May 18th at Radio Ballady, WNZK 690. I'm Ray Hanania. I will be back next Friday right here at 8 o'clock Detroit time. You have a great week. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
This is WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit, your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 680 nights.